I've been blessed. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people, and I've been blessed. And I know he has too by this morning, this afternoon. Don and I have been married a long time, and we always wanted a big family. And what happened is I would get pregnant easily, but would miscarry. So we adopted. We adopted Larry first, and then Linda, and then I birthed Randy. And when Randy was about 2 years old, he took ill in the night, and he was throwing up. And I called the doctor, and he said, get some Gravol for him. So I went to the pharmacy holding him, and the pharmacist said, that's a very sick little boy. And I went home, and all of a sudden it hit me. This little boy, when he had a temperature, I tried to give him those little orange-flavored aspirins. He would not touch them. But in my negligence, I had left adult aspirin out. And he'd had the, and I thought, there's no way. But it came to me. So I called, and the doctor said, go immediately to the hospital. And I got there, and the doctor's saying, well, how many do you think he took? I don't know. How was it? I don't know. And so they sent us home, sent Don and I home. And at 11 at night, we got a call. And they said, your child Randy is convulsing, and we're taking him by ambulance to Sick Children's. At that time, we had a girl who was in a wheelchair living with us. And she said, God won't let anything happen to him. Well, we got in the car, we're crying, we're calling out to God, and in our mind is saying, well, things do happen. You know, we have Almighty God, but he makes the choices, he gives and takes away. So through it all, they treated us wonderful at the hospital, and Randy's married to a wonderful woman and has two children, our grandchildren, and God came through in a wonderful way. But I had to deal with the guilt. I had to deal with forgiveness of myself. And I want to say my husband never once blamed me. But the hardest thing, I couldn't even be like Adam and say, well, it was Eve's fault. I couldn't do it. It was mine. And I have forgiven myself. But I think it's one of the hardest things. And if it had been someone else, I think, would I have forgiven them? Would I have started a lawsuit? You know, I just praise God for his ways are perfect. Now, I want to thank you because we have come through trials and you have prayed for us. And through cancer that I had in 2012, you people prayed for me. And my husband had a pretty awful diagnosis, and he went to a conference, a men's conference, and you guys went around him and prayed for him, and the Lord brought him through. So once again, God is faithful, but his people are so wonderful to have. The prayers of God's people avail us much, and I thank you. When Don was ill, I said to the Lord, we had five kids, one of them a baby, and he was very ill. Don was very ill. And I said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. You've got to give me something. You've got to help me. And I flipped open the Bible. Some say you should never do that, but I did it. And this is what was in front of me, Malachi 4:2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Now, someone might get that and think, so what? But my husband's name had been Froggy. And when I saw that leaping, I thought, ha! And I praised the Lord, and I put it on the wall for him to see, and he never said a word until maybe a couple of years later I heard him telling someone, oh, my wife put it on the wall. But God has been so very faithful, and in so many circumstances, finances and health and sadness too, with some disappointments. Our one son, our oldest son, got in a drunken brawl and came home very quietly. And I said to my husband, he's been drinking, I can tell. I went down and he had a wad of Kleenex on his ear, and his earlobe had been bitten off, and he had been in a fight, and he wasn't repenting. He was just thankful he broke the other fella's nose. As a mom, as a dad, we were raising him in a Christian home, and look what was happening. We went one in the morning and looked around McDonald's parking lot for his earlobe, and we never found it. And we called the hospital, and they said, bring him in. A human bite is worse than a dog bite. So he did get it repaired. I was amazed what they did. They cut skin from the back and pulled it forward and made an earlobe. And the earlobe was bearded, like big and purple looking. And so then he had it done again because it was a lot of scar tissue. And finally, Don confronted him about his spiritual walk. And there was a doctor that gave him cortisone shots. You wouldn't know now. And he walks with the Lord. And we just, God has come through. We've walked through valleys, but he's always been with us. And he promises that for each one of us. And now I'd like to introduce you to Barbara, Barbara Shorts. I met her a couple of years ago. And as I met her, what did she say to me? She says, I've broken all 10 commandments. And I think, oh. But it was her in to tell me how awesome God is, how gracious he is, how almighty he is, how faithful he is. And, you know, she's someone that's gone through so much. And when you say he gives and takes away, really, Barb, that's so true. She's educated herself through God's word, not through the school system. And after tragedy struck, she and her husband, Dale, raised their three grandchildren along with their daughter, Tammy. To introduce you to Barbara, I'd like to read Colossians 3, 12 to 14. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And as any of you have a grievance against anyone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is Barbara, and she does not judge people. I wish I was where she was. You know, if she sees fault, she prays and she loves. So this is Barbara. Come on.
It's so nice to be here. I've never been here before, and it's wonderful to be here. You all look so wonderful and charming and happy and spiritual. I just want to, this is my granddaughter, Charity, and I'd like you to guess how old she is. How old do you think she is? Can you have a guess? What would you say?
I would say 29, 30.
You're so close. Wow. She's 31. A lot of people think she's only 18 or something. Yeah. I'm 30. Anyway, this is her mummy. That she passed away in 1996. She passed away and she was 26 years old. So you're older than your mummy. And now I was thinking about today. I thought, you know, old Cheryl would be today, my daughter. She would be going on 50. On December the 14th this year, she would have been 50 years old. I can't believe I have a daughter that would have been 50 years old. I'm just going to put it over here to show you. You can see it. And I'm going to get Charity to read something after. Do you want to just sit down here, Charity, just for a few minutes, please? Thank you. I just want to say that I'm so happy to be here. And it is a journey. Life is a journey, isn't it? I mean, some of us suffer more than others, but Jesus said we will all suffer because he suffered, right? And so I want to tell you a little bit about the story. I'll put that there for now. What did I do with the other thing? Oh, I left it over there. Can you get me the other thing over there? I think it's behind me. It's the the little booklet there thing. Thank you so much. Yeah, I came to the Lord in 1984 of March, around March. You've been about the same, right? 34 years. I think this is half my life. I've been a Christian for half my life. I wish I could have grown more, but I'm growing. You know, I'm on the way. But what happened was I came to the Lord through the 700 Club. I'd never known nothing about God. I didn't know nothing about Jesus. I didn't know anything about anything, except when I was a little baby, they christened me in a Methodist church. How many have been in a Methodist church? You have. That's great. I've only been there once when I was christened anyway. And my mom never took me there after that. She never took me to church. You know, we weren't religious, or we didn't follow God. We weren't Christians. But I guess that was a tradition. You know, you get your baby baptized or you get the baby christened, you know, and that's what we did. So that's what happened. I went and got saved, and I'm so glad I got saved watching the 700 Club. I didn't know nothing about God, but God, they said to me that you need to give your heart to God because there is a heaven and there is a hell, right? We don't like talking about hell, do we? We say, you know, God loves you. Yeah, he loves you, but there is a choice. So anyway, after that, I thought, you know, I'm so happy now. I was excited about God. My mom got me a great big Bible. It was like huge. You know those great big Bibles you put on your coffee table? And I went to church with it under my arm. They call me Holy Roller. And so this Bible, I remember sitting in this church, and first church I'd ever been in, took the little communion cups, sat it on my Bible, and spilled it all over my Bible. It was horrible. I was embarrassed. But this big Bible I had, I started reading it and reading it and reading it. I must have read it 3 or 4 hours a day. I got so into the Word that it started to change me. I started thinking different, acting different. I just saw a big difference in my life. But I was so happy that I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And everybody needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? So anyway, this is the story. Cheryl, my daughter, and this is her when she was a little bit younger. She was 14 at the time. And my other daughter, Tammy, she was 9.5 years younger. She's about 4.5 years old. Anyway, Cheryl became very rebellious at 14 years old. She was hanging out with the wrong people. And I was trying to tell her about Jesus because I was a little baby Christian and telling her about Jesus. And she would go get drunk and then start telling people about Jesus when she's drunk. I said, you're not very good witnesses. You know, but she says, well, Mom, that's the only time I have the guts to do that. So anyway, she went downtown this day. I've only been to Christian for a couple of months. She went downtown, down where the, all those, what do you call that, the Eaton Center and all those places. And she didn't come back that night. I didn't know the Word that well. I opened the Word up, and I was looking in the Word, and I thought, God, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, so I'm trusting you right now. Where is my daughter? I don't know where she is. So I phoned up someplace downtown, and they said, she's probably working. She's 14 years old. What do you mean working? Prostituting? They said, yeah, prostituting. I said, no, I don't believe that. But I know she wasn't, but she was with the wrong people. She was taking drugs. She was into alcohol. I remember at 14 years old, she would take a bottle of whiskey and drink it right out of the bottle. So, you know, her father was an alcoholic, you know, and some people in my family are alcoholics. So I believe she got it from passed on down to generation like that. So anyway, she was down there, and I started crying in my Bible. I have tears in my Bible where the Bible was open. And I just started saying to God, please, Lord, give me peace, because I don't know where she is right now. I don't know what to do anymore. I prayed. I don't know what to do. I put her in your hands, because that's the only place I can put her, right, is in your hands. So I put her in God's hands, and I believed he was taking care of her for me. And so I went to bed that night, and I said, God, give me peace. And you know what he gave me? That peace that passes all understanding. I've heard people say, I've got that peace that passes all understanding. But I went to bed, and I slept like a baby, and I never woke up till like early in the morning. And I thought, I feel guilty. I really feel guilty. You know why? Because I feel guilty. That's my daughter down there. I'm not even worried about her. But God said, you asked for peace. I'm giving you peace. So you got to have peace. I went down there, and he led me right to where she was, right to the little Harvey's down there. She was at this Harvey's. She would come in, and she would, you know, bum French fries off everybody, and, you know, there's other people that were on the street, too. And so finally, one day, I was there, and we're looking around, and we had the pictures of her, what she looked like, And somebody said to her, she comes in here at this time of the day with some other people. And she came in, I was waiting for her, and I put my arms around her, and I said, Cheryl, you got to come home, we love you. And she came home anyway. And that's the first part of the horrible thing I went through as a Christian. But that's not the only thing. It got worse. It actually got worse. She was 14 years old then. When she was 16 years old, she met a man. His name was Rob. And he was bisexual, which I didn't know much about him. I hadn't seen him very much. And you know why she hung around him? Because he used to give her drugs and alcohol. That's why she hung around him. And he gave her something else. He gave her HIV. You know, like the death sentence in those days? That we never heard much about AIDS in those days. 1990, what would it be now? It would be around the early 90s. And we didn't know much about AIDS in those days. So I just put her in God's hands, and I just found out that there's nothing I can do. I have to put her in God's hands. But I didn't know anything else about AIDS except, you know, this guy had AIDS. I don't know if she had slept with him. I wasn't sure, but I thought she had have done because he was giving her drugs and alcohol. So I put her in God's hands. And then, so she was 16 years old then. That was a couple of years later. And we went to the hospital because first of all, she had Lynette. And then she had Chelsea and Charity. Now, you just met Charity here, right? And they were twins. And Chelsea kept getting sick. This is Charity on here. That's when she was little, but her sister's not on there. She died a couple of years before that. And she was there. And we went to the hospital. We had this great big boardroom there at the hospital. My mom and dad were there. I was there. Cheryl was there. And they'd taken blood work of Cheryl, and they'd taken blood work of Chelsea because she kept getting sick all the time. And all of a sudden, they said, Cheryl is a carrier of HIV, and the baby, which was 2 years old at the time, Chelsea, which is Charity's twin, had full-blown AIDS. I mean, I'm thinking, Lord, if I didn't know you, what would I do? You know, it was horrible. And so we went back home, and Cheryl said to me, well, Mom, she said, you know what? I didn't tell you this, but a couple of days ago, or a week ago, I just accepted Jesus watching Huntley Street. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, even if he does take her home, she's going to go to heaven. I know that now. So that's what happened then. And so the twins were there, and we had one was sick and the other one wasn't, and it got really, really a lot worse because the little girl, Chelsea, she got to the point where she was on oxygen all the time, and they lay her on the floor, and we'd lay her on the floor, and she got really, really, really sick. And I looked at her, and she had a little, around her eyes, she'd have like dark circles around her eyes, really, really dark circles, and she weighed 16 pounds, and she was 3 years old. So this one day, I mean, I'm not mad at God, I'm not angry at God, but I was angry at the situation, I was angry at sin, I was angry at the sickness and the disease. And I said to God, I said, Lord, please, either take her or heal her, because I can't watch the suffering anymore. I couldn't stand watching the suffering. And so we went to church. How many know Ralph Rutledge? Have you heard him on Huntley Street? Okay, you all know him. He's a friend of mine. And him and Evelyn Rutledge. And he was preaching at this church. And so we went to hear him. And I just got a call while I was getting ready to go to church. And it was my daughter. And she said, he has taken her. He spoke to her in the middle of the night. He said, I'm taking her home. And how many people here say, well, I don't hear an audible voice like that. But she heard a voice saying, I'm taking her home tonight. And so that morning, when she went in to pick her up, there was blood coming out of her. She had hemorrhage, little blood coming down around her mouth. And she was gone. So we all went to church, and Pastor Rutledge, Evelyn and Pastor Rutledge, got everything ready for us. They said, we're your family. We will help you. We were all in shock. And we'll help you get this funeral started and get everything going. So that we did that. We got it all done, and then we buried her. And you know what? We didn't even have enough money to bury her. My family didn't have enough money to bury her. So we had help with that, that God provided that money. And they even said to us at the funeral home, they said, about the coffee and the sandwiches, they said, we can help you because we have compassion. We'll help you to get this thing paid for and supply all the coffee and everything you need. So that was all done. That was a blessing right there. Anyway, we buried her. And that was in 1991 of September the 8th. Wow. And I thought, oh, this is devastating, you know, it's horrible. And so anyway, she was so little, she was about 16 pounds, so 3 years old. So that was in 1991. In 1992 of September the 17th, Cheryl was pregnant and she had a baby. And I'm thinking, oh no, like you have AIDS, you know, you can have another baby. What's going to happen? You're going to this baby's going to die too. You know, that's too much. But we went to Ralph Rutledge's house this day, and Ralph said, you got to trust God because you don't want to have an abortion, right? And she said, I don't want to have an abortion. Well, let's trust God and pray. And somebody prayed over her, and I believe that God touched the baby, not her, but the baby inside of her. And you know what they called him? They called him Jesse, and Jesse means God's grace. Isn't that wonderful? And God healed him. And so he was born, and my goodness, it was just a blessing. And she said, she wrote in her little book, she said, you are my gift from God, Jesse, and as long as I am able, I will take care of you. You are a blessing from God. So he was born. And then he started to grow up and do little things. And we were so happy because we never had a little boy around. We always had girls. And then it came, that was in 1992, and then Cheryl started getting sick. She started getting sicker and sicker. Something was happening in her brain. She couldn't eat properly. She couldn't remember things properly. She couldn't even remember her own phone number. It was really hard. And so we were praying for her. Everybody was praying. The churches were praying for her. And she knew that if she did die, she believed God was going to heal her, but she also knew that if she did die, she'll be healed on the other side anyway, right? So this one day, I'll just go to the park because it takes a long time to talk about this. This one day, I was at her place. It was August the 31st, 1996. And I was visiting her, and the kids were playing outside. It was a nice day. Jesse was outside, the little boy. He was three years old then. And Charity was at school, and the other little girl was at school, and they were all playing around. They came out home from school, and they were playing. Charity saw the ambulance coming down the street, and she felt that the Lord was saying to her, if you want to go see your mom, you better get home now. So anyway, she went upstairs, and I was wondering where she was going. She walked upstairs up to the top of the stairs, and she was there for a long time, and I thought, well, where is she? Couldn't hear anything. So all of a sudden, I mean, I don't know if this was God or not, but I started getting such a really bad backache, just really, really bad backache. And I thought, well, maybe I should go lay down upstairs on the bed because I can't stand this pain, you know? And I'm glad I went upstairs because when I went up to the bedroom, I could hear a voice, which I couldn't hear downstairs. And then the voice was, she couldn't speak because of the brain problems that she was having because she had 30% immune system left. That's all she had at that time. And she was trying to talk, and she couldn't say it. And she goes, Mom, Mom. She couldn't say it. Please help. And she'd fallen off the toilet, and she'd fallen into the bathtub. And the kids had been playing with their toys in there, and they had a little bit of water in the bathtub. And she fell back into the bathtub, and her neck was back like that. And, when you're in panicky, I was panicking, and I thought, what happened? Did she, you know what she did? I thought she'd broken her neck because her eyes were up in her head, and her head was back. And she was laying in the tub. So what do? I go under her arms, I pick her out of the tub, sit her on the toilet seat, and then I'm thinking, no one's around. How can I get help? I can't even get the phone. And then I shouted, I said, anybody help me, please? And Jesse came in the room, came into the townhouse, through the door, 3 years old, came running up the stairs, and I said, your mom's broken her neck. And I thought, I shouldn't have said that. He's a little boy, right? So I said, get me the phone. So he got me the phone and brought it to me. And you know how they are on the phone, the ambulance guys are going, well, calm down. I said, calm down. No, I can't calm down. And I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus. And they're listening to me on the phone. I said, help, help. So anyway, I was on the phone with them, and they said, we're going to send someone over. So they came upstairs. They took her downstairs. They gave her oxygen. And she was dehydrated and everything, and they gave her oxygen. And they took her in the ambulance, and I went with her. And my other daughter was with the little kids. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand AIDS, so we didn't talk about AIDS to the kids. So I went in the ambulance with her. We got to the hospital in Mississauga, Credit Valley Hospital. Yeah. And I'm sitting on the bed with her, and we're talking, and she's telling the doctors, can you check me and see how I'm doing? And they said, you have zero immune system left. It's all gone. You can catch anything right now. Anything that's going on, you'll get. And she said, I don't want to live. Like, if you don't resuscitate me, don't bring me back, because I want to go. I just want to go. And so anyway, we left it like that, you know, and you do things you're not supposed to do because you're scared or worried or something like that. And so I just said to her, I said, you lay here and be quiet for a while. I was the only one there. There was no other family member. Her husband was on truck driver. He was doing something somewhere else. He didn't know we were in the hospital. So I said to her, just wait there. I'm going in the meditation lounge. And there's a great big old King James Bible. You know the old-fashioned ones, the great big Bibles? And I went, so, you know, like you said, I just opened it up like Ruth did. Okay, what do you want to say to me, God? And you know what he said to me? He gave me Job 23:10, and it says, I know the path that you take, and when you are tried, you will come forth as gold. Whoa, I don't understand. I was like in shock. I was like, what are you trying to say to me, God? My life? So anyway, as I was going back to the room after I was there for about 15 minutes, they're coming over and saying, she's leaving. We can't get her back. And Cheryl was ready to go. And they were pounding on her chest and everything. And then finally, I was crying out to Jesus. You know, you'd be selfish sometimes. I should have let her go, but you don't want your kid to go. It's an awful feeling. You're fighting that inside of you. You said, no, you can't go. And she wanted to go. But you know what it was? Her family wasn't there. Her husband wasn't there. Her kids weren't there. And I thought, how can we let her go like this? Nobody can even say goodbye. It was really horrible. So what I did, I thank God we got her back again. And then it was the next day, and then the family came around the bed. There was people there then. Her husband was there, but they never brought the kids. They never brought Charity or Chelsea. Charity or Lynette. They didn't bring them there, or Jesse, because her husband, he thought, you know what, maybe it will be too hard for the kids to see their mom dying. So he said, no, we won't say nothing. But they should have seen their mom, because they wanted to say goodbye. But they didn't get a chance to. So, oh my goodness, it was so horrible. But then, you know, the God gave me such grace, and I started singing songs like, have you heard that song? It says, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. I was singing that to her, and I'm thinking, this is God. You know, that you're allowing me to sing, because I didn't think I could even do that. And that's the God's grace. And I was praying with her and reading the Bible to her, and two big tears came down her face. We said, we will take care of your children for you. And we did, didn't we, Charity? We took care of them since they were little. And we had a two-bedroom apartment. And we had bunk beds everywhere. And we brought the three kids in. We promised Cheryl that she can go and she didn't have to worry about her little kids, that she was going to be okay. So we brought them in. Now, her husband was rebellious. He was on drugs, too. He was drinking. He was just so rebellious. I had to tell him about Jesus, but he didn't want to hear. But you know what happened? Through me loving him and compassion and loving him, not agreeing with what he did was wrong, but just loving him with compassion, he turned around and he gave his heart to Jesus. He almost died because he got the disease, too. He got AIDS as well. And he went out west, and he was so skinny and so he couldn't even breathe. And I remember saying to God, I said, he's going to phone me. I want him to phone me, and I don't know whether he can breathe or not enough to talk to me. So I said, give him some breath to talk to me. I have to pray with him because he's going to die. Because he said, if you don't get a hold of me, I might die. He even said that, but he wasn't ready to meet the Lord. So I got him on. He phoned me, and I was praying, and I said, who's this? And he goes, oh, it's he, and he couldn't breathe. And I'm like, oh, you got to come to Jesus. Got to come to Jesus. And I said, pray with me. Will you pray with me right now? And he prayed with me, and he gave his heart to God. And now he's serving the Lord. Now he loves Jesus. You know what? And now he doesn't even have the sickness. He has the AIDS virus. He has the HIV, right, Charity. But he's had on medication, and it's not bothering him. He's a truck driver. He goes all over the states. And he loves Jesus. Every time he goes, sees a cross on the road, he puts his hands up. I said, I hope you hang on to the wheel. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there you go, another cross. Oh, my goodness. It was so funny. So anyway, Cheryl died on September the 1st, 1996. And I said to God, because I'd gone through a lot, I have to forgive the guy that gave it to her. His mother and me are friends right now. Isn't that God's grace again? I mean, that is God's grace. And you know what? I forgave him. I forgave the people that, you know, that were not telling me the truth at that time. And when Cheryl died, I said to God, I don't want to become bitter, because you can't use me when I'm bitter. I have to become better. And I have to give everything to you, and you can take care of everything for me. So I did, and then I started taking the children to a place called the Teresa Group, where they help people with families with AIDS or people that have had AIDS. And so they came with me. We took them there every Saturday, and I told them my testimony. I thought it was a Christian place, but it wasn't a Christian place. It was just an ordinary place that they were called the Teresa Group. And I was telling them all my story about Cheryl and everything. And God said, don't move. I said, can I leave now? He goes, no. There was a lady that came in there. Her name was Kathy Graham. She had full-blown AIDS, cirrhosis of the liver. She was living, she got so raped. She went through all kinds of things in her life. Her four children were taken away with Children's Aid because of the drugs and everything. And when I met her, the Lord said, you have to witness to her, you have to tell her about Jesus. And I went to a little coffee shop down where the High Park was, and there's two places where the subways, two ends, High Park, and I didn't know that, and I'm looking all over for her, and she wasn't there, and I got kind of like, what am I going to do now? So I just started walking back and forth. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You're not going to do this. I'm going to meet this woman, and she's going to give her heart to Jesus. I just took authority over the enemy. We found her. We got her in a little coffee shop there. I bought her lunch, and I told her all the story about my daughter and everything, because she had AIDS too, right? And she prayed the sinner's prayer right in the restaurant, right in the... I was talking louder than maybe now I am now. I've got a big voice. And I was talking, and she prayed with me. She gave her heart to the Lord, and I got to speak at her funeral 8 months later. Oh, it was just God. And all these people that didn't know Jesus, they heard the message of Jesus Christ. That's God, I believe it. And what I did, when I started to tell her about Jesus, she was so upset because the guy she was living with, he had AIDS too, but he was really abusive to her and all this stuff. And then she told me that she'd never felt love before. And I said, the love I'm giving you is Jesus, it's not me. It's his love. I want you to know Jesus' love, not my love. His love is much bigger than me. So anyway, we did that, and I got to speak at her funeral, and God is so good, I'm telling you. And I said to God, I said, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. You know what? I'm still ministering to people, and the Encouragers ministry, which you came to and you spoke, that's part of the birthing of the suffering I went through, because I love people and I want to reach out to hurting people, and that's where it's coming from. That's why we started the Encouragers. We started in 1993. One lady, I gave her flowers with the Encouragers and a card, how much we loved her, and she never said thank you, and I wondered why. And she said to me after the service, nobody's ever given me flowers before. And that's why I felt so touched in my heart. So the Encouragers is still going. If you want to come and share again, we'd love to have you, Miles. Really, Pastor Miles. And anybody wants to come to the Encouragers, we have a nice meal, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And Don and Ruth speak for me sometimes, and we share. But you know what? That's the journey I'm in right now, and the journey I've gone through already. And you know what? I know where my daughter is. I'm so happy that she's accepted Jesus at 17 years old. And you know what? God is a big God, and he forgives a big lot. He forgives a big lot. God bless you all. Thank you. This is about, the Lord gave this to my daughter 3 months before Chelsea died. And I'd just like you to listen to what the Lord gave her. It's beautiful. Just read that for us, Charity, please, because you're the other twin.
Okay.
Okay, you can read it for us. This is the last
one.
Start the beginning. Go ahead.
It's Chelsea Mayanger, 1988 to 1991. When you came into this world, everyone knew there was something about you that was different. God knew. When you got sick and suffered, when your sisters played and ran and laughed while you lay and watched, no one could understand why, but God knew. Why Why you only lived 3 years instead of 80, God knew. You see, Chelsea, you were an important part of his great plan. He used you in a wonderful way to touch heart and life like no one else could have. God gave to us a great blessing when he gave you. And although you never experienced things like walking, talking, running, or singing, we hope you experienced the deep love that was felt towards you by so many people. Now you have gone to be with your loving Father who created you, who had you in his hand from the very beginning. You are in a perfect world of love, joy, peace, and health. Now you can lift your voice and sing a new song, a song of life, everlasting life. And you can praise the Lord forever at his throne. And now we can see what it was about you that we couldn't before. You had heaven in your smile and eternity in your eyes. Run, Chelsea, run and play.
She made it on the other side. And this is the one my daughter wrote about a month before she passed away. And I just want to, it's a song she wrote. And it's about her Jesus. And she said, only you could take away all this pain and loneliness. Only you could really understand my emptiness. You loved me so, you healed the scars and gently brought me through. And no one else could have done it, only you, Jesus. Only you who gave your life that I could live and be set free. Only you who reign in glory for eternity. You loved me so, you took my place and made my life brand new. And no one else could have done it, only you, by Cheryl Anger. God bless you.